Good morning, First Brethren Church. Hey, we wanted to show you our view here in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. That would be the ocean out there. We're actually here on the hillside of our resort. There's actually a beach side also that we go over to. We can go to the beach and the ocean and stuff like that. So we're pretty excited being here. It's really relaxing. We've had great weather and we miss you all. But hey, I wanted to send this video to you to introduce to you this morning our special guest. This guy, he came up to me and asked me if he could preach, and I told him no. No, you're not gonna preach. He finally convinced me, and I said, okay, I'll let you do it. And I'm excited for all that God has for him and for you guys this morning. So would you give a big warm welcome to the stage, my good friend and your friend, Corey Nichols.
Morning. How are we all doing today? Good. I'm sure with Brent, you know, along with his special guest, that he's really missing us all today. It looked real bad there where he's at. Anyways, first of all, I want to say thanks to Brent for letting me be up here to speak today. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I can't believe I'm up here. I'm nowhere near worthy of being up here, but I believe that God's called me to do this. So, in fact, the last few weeks in his sermons, I got cold feet and I felt like backing out. But then I come in and it seems that God has spoke to me through Brent's words. In Chasing the Lion series, Brent said, "If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough." Well, it's scary. All right, and you know, then we found out that Mike wasn't going to be here for drums, so Bradley's like, "Are you sure you want to do this today? You know, you're going to be doing drums and doing this." And I said, "Yeah, actually, because I couldn't be out there waiting all this time. This kept my mind off of it." So then a couple weeks ago, during the Strong series, I came in just waiting. I'm like, "All right, I'm getting cold feet. I'm backing out. I'm just going to tell Brent, nope, throwing in the towel. You know, let somebody else do this." And he comes in, and Brent says, "God has called us to do something. He called us to complete a task in his name and in order to draw others closer to him. If we aren't stepping up to the task, if we are just sitting here week after week, just being comfortable doing nothing, then shame on us." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "I'm ready to sit there and be like, nope, I'm not doing this." And he says this, and so, I mean, obviously that was God speaking to him, or to me through him. So here we go. a few months back, I was in Brent's office in between praise band and church, and we were sitting there talking. I'm sure it was about important stuff, like, you know, the new Star Wars movie or some new sandwich. And I was looking through his bookshelf, and one stood out to me. And I asked him if I could take it home and read it. And of course, knowing Brent, he had to make fun of me for actually going to read a book. But then he said, "Yeah, go ahead." And while this book made it home, made it on my nightstand, and I kept meaning to read it, but you know, things are busy, never got to it, didn't get it. And then a couple months ago, we took Jordan on her cruise, and I took that book because I'm like, I'm going to read it. I took a couple other ones thinking I'm going to be ambitious and read more than one book, and I finally was able to sit down and read it. And the book is called Not a Fan, which is up here. It's about being a follower of Christ, not just a fan. Well, since we've started coming here to FBC and the impact this church has made on my family's life, I'm like, I'm a follower now. I'm not just a fan. I pray daily, sometimes more than once a day. I take turns in the praise band. Nettie and I are part of, you know, our small group. Our children, they want to come to church even when we can't make it. I mean, come on. I listen to Christian radio almost all the time. I'm a follower, or I'm a fan, right? After reading this book, no. Or I'm a follower, no. After reading this book, I'm just a fan. But after this, I mean, in going through this, it'll hopefully explain why. We all know that we have seen a sporting event, someone holding up a sign with John 3:16. This is known by all of us. Why don't we say it together? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Well, being here today, we all believe that. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we should. Now, as most people here today know, thanks to texting, there are abbreviations for everything. I even know some of them, and you may too, like LOL, which is laugh out loud. BRB, be right back. OMG, oh my goodness. YOLO, you only live once. And my favorite one is that one right there at the bottom, K. Seriously? Is it that hard to put an O in front of it? I just sent you a 3-line text, say, spilling my guts out, and you get K. All right, that one really drives me nuts. But do you know what DTR stands for? I didn't, but as a young man in a relationship, I did, and it struck fear into me, as well as other men over the years. It makes a single man in a relationship do stupid things when they feel the DTR is imminent. My wife can agree to this, as I did at least once or twice. Have you figured out what DTR stands for? It is define the relationship. Right there, that just right there scares me as it is. This is the official talk about where this relationship is going. Are you committed or not? How serious are you in the relationship? Where is it going? I know when I felt this talk was imminent, I usually fled the scene, leaving the girls saying, what just happened? And really, I gotta find a date a week before prom? Yeah, that was me. Sorry, honey. I told her she got to be Kara today, so. Today we are gonna have the DTR with our commitment to Jesus. I want you to define yours with him. Now, I'll warn you, some of us are going to get a little uncomfortable, a little anxious. You might even have a fight or flight response because of your relationship with Jesus. I know I felt that when I read the book. I mean, he seems like a good guy. We all want to have a relationship with him, with Jesus. All the benefits, no commitment, a no strings attached arrangement where you can connect with him from time to time, but it doesn't mess with your life. You know, come in on Sunday, yep, here we go, and then go back out and we enjoy our lives the way we do. As I mentioned before, I am guilty and a little slow with this relationship stuff. And once again, Nettie can attest to this, but I'm striving with the relationship that he wants me to have with him, and I have a long way to go. A fan is described as an enthusiastic admirer. Who all here is an enthusiastic admirer of Jesus? but it's not a committed follower. We may wear a cross, but we do not bear the cross. We come to church, we sing the songs, open our Bibles, take notes, afterwards walk out to our cars with our little Jesus fish on them, say grace before meals, but that does not make us a follower. We all know the story of Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish to feed the masses. He spoke to them all, and everyone said, I want to follow Jesus. But even Jesus, who was more popular than Garth Brooks at the time, looked around and said, you know, I don't think you all belong here. And he had to thin out the crowds of fans to find the followers. You know, see, Jesus was never impressed with how many people were there. He was impressed with the commitment level that you have at actually wanting to follow him. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, exactly what we must do to become a follower. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. So in this verse, he gave us 3 marks or signs to do this. The first is denial. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Now I thought I had this one down to a T, and I wish I could say that it was because I deny myself of food. But my family can attest to this that I do not. I believe on more than one occasion that I've been called the human garbage disposal, cleaning up everybody's plates, you know, of everybody, well, you gonna finish that? You're done? You know, and a couple of times I've even been slapped because I am not finished, so. So anyways, but, now, I am a guy who works on a tool truck. Now, come on, guys. We all know that we may not know how to use them, but we got to have them tools. I mean, every day I'm on this tool truck, and there's shiny tools and nice big metal things that I sell them, and I don't know what half of them do. But I don't come home with them, so I'm like, I'm denying it, right? Well, that and I'm grounded from spending, so. But put another way, if anyone could come after me, he must deny himself. You can't come after Jesus without denying yourself. The phrase deny himself isn't just the idea of saying no to yourself or even resisting yourself. The idea here is that we do not even acknowledge or recognize our own existence. We talk a lot about the truth of being a Christian means believing in Jesus, but we do not say how much denying ourselves. Do we not say much about denying ourselves? That is such an unappealing message. How do you deny yourself in a culture that says it's all about you? I mean, we anymore, it's, you know, what can you do? What can we do? What's this, this, you know? That's what we live in. Jesus met a couple, some potential followers who turned out to be nothing more than fans. First one comes up to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. This guy sounds committed, and I'm sure Jesus said, all right, come along. But first I must tell you, foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. Now maybe that is where you are. We work hard for what we have, a nice home, a place to lay our head at night, and our new top-of-the-line, super soft, comfy mattress, and our heated or cooled homes. Is that what we're living or working for or sacrificing for is comfort? Is comfort our God? The second person comes to Jesus and says, I will follow you, but first I need to go bury my father. In which Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Your duty is to go forward and preach about the kingdom of God. Well, that seems kind of crude. You know, my father just died, Lord. Can I just go and bury him? But what Jesus is saying is the dead are already gone. And now our job is to tell those who are still living about how great heaven is and how to get there. This would be like us saying to Jesus, I will follow you, but first let me send out a few emails, update my Facebook and Twitter account, have my mail forwarded, and call someone to let out the dogs. After all that, okay, now Jesus, I'm ready to follow. Well, at that point, we got to go find Jesus because he's not going to wait. He's not waiting for us to do what we need to do. He says, follow me. He doesn't say wrap up loose ends. He says, follow me. The second point is dedication. Returning to our scripture, Jesus continues, if any of you want to follow me, you must pick up your cross daily. Got it. Okay, Jesus, I got mine. Now what? That one's not big enough? Okay. All right, Jesus, I got my cross. Now this, I'm going to carry it. It's going to make it a little difficult to work and go to ball games and sleep at night, but I got my cross. It's not very comfortable. I don't think this isn't exactly what Jesus meant either. So let me get back up here and get to my point. We can look all around and see a cross. Behind me, in front of you, on the ring on your finger, on the chain around your neck, maybe in some sparkly cross earrings, and even more these days in tattoos. That isn't what he means either. Back when Jesus was alive, the only people who picked up a cross were those who were going to die on it. It was a criminal's cross. Ones to humiliate and torture. After being beaten and whipped to exhaustion and near death, you'd be made to pick up your cross, carry it to your execution spot. There were you nailed to it, hoisted up, and left hanging there to die a very painful death. That's a little different than jewelries, tattoos, or wood carvings. Jesus says in Luke 24, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, for my sake, you will save it. What he's saying is if you're a follower It is all or nothing. You can't pick up your cross for an hour or so on Sunday and say, well, there, Jesus, I did it. All for you. Got out of bed, rubbed my eyes, came in, and worshiped for an hour, hour and a half, and I did my duty. I'm a follower. It's not it. You can't carry a cross without suffering. There are a number of scriptures that do more than hint at the fact that you're a follower of Jesus, and it will cost you something. Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of God. 2 Timothy 3:12. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Philippians 1:29. For it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Wow. It takes picking up your cross daily, a total 100% commitment and dedication. He doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be all of it. Being a follower isn't easy, and sometimes it's painful. Picking up our cross, speaking out these words every day isn't easy, and sometimes the ridicule is painful. But for all that Jesus did for us, I think a little pain is in order. The third point here is direction. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. Now, this is an easy one, I have to say to this. Yes, Jesus, I will follow you straight to heaven. Well, if Jesus was standing right back there in the back of the church at this moment and says, follow me, would you? I mean, I know I'd be throwing some elbows and probably stepping on some toes to get back there. I'm like, heck, yeah, I am. Now, wait a minute. And as you're starting down the aisle, all of a sudden Jesus says, wait a minute. If anybody comes to me and does not hate their father, mother, wife, and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such person cannot be my disciple. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus, I've been taught since I was a little kid that your number one command is to love one another. And now you're telling me that I have to hate my own family? This, again, is kind of crude, but to the point. But what he's saying is that none of these people, or even your own life, can mean more to you than he does. So, after that, okay, I can get on board with that. Sorry, family. Jesus is first. I'm out. Okay? I start to head to the door again. But what's on the outside? What happens when we follow Jesus out that door? What if Jesus out that door meant you would never see your family again? Well, we just said that. All right. You know, I'll see you guys again in heaven. I'm sure. That's if you guys decide to follow him too. So, what if we walk out that door, there's a bunch of crosses? Would you pick one up with him? Would you carry one with him? Would you get nailed to it with him? Would you die with him? These are really big decisions. It shouldn't be, because when we first asked us to follow him, we were all smiles and high-fiving, yeah, we're going to go follow Jesus. Yes, sir. And then the realization comes forward. Wow, it's big. It's a lot more than what, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. There's a lot of commitment there. So, now last summer we had some missionaries here from Chile. They had a coffee shop and a bakery on the ocean. From the pictures they showed, beautiful. And Nettie and I have talked about this numerous times. You know, like, you know what? Let's sell everything. Let's move there. We can live on the beach. You know, I can live in a shack and sell coffee and talk about Jesus and, you know, mission there. Wow, I'd really be suffering for Jesus. But could I pick up my cross and go to South Africa, the Ukraine, where our other missionary friends are from, China, even the Middle East? Not so lavish now, is it? But would I follow Jesus there? Let's bring it in even closer. Were they helping the Toledo, the homeless shelter in Toledo or Fort Wayne? Or even right here in Bryan? What about picking up our crosses and finding the thousands of people that Brent has told us about right here in Williams County that have no churches? Can we pick up our crosses for them? Jesus wants to pick up our cross and follow him. There are so many ways to do this. Are you picking up yours? I know that I've missed several opportunities. As I said in the beginning, this is all about our DTR with Jesus. Reading this book and preparing this sermon has opened my eyes so much to how much of a fan that I really am. I don't want to be a fan. I want to be a true follower of Jesus. Maybe your first step is accepting Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe you're past that. And maybe your next step is to follow him and what he is calling you to do. Where you are is between you and Jesus. But please, have your DTR with him. Let us pray. Dear Father, I just thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come up here and speak your words. I thank you for you putting these words and this whole sermon together and speaking through me and talking to me by making me read this book and getting up here and explaining to everybody what that means to me. I pray that it reaches everybody in the congregation and that they all too wish to have that DTR with you, Lord. We all know it's not easy and it's not, it's always right there. It's painful and we want to run. We all want to say we want to be a follower, but how many of us are still just fans? I know, Lord, I am. But I pray for that day that I can be right there and be a follower and not question when you ask me to follow you what's outside that door. So, Lord, please just be with us all today as we continue out through our day. Keep everybody safe. Have a great day. And I pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.